I want to get right into the lesson today. In Romans 5, 6 through 9, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous person, though perhaps for the good person someone would even dare die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him." When I was between 5 and 7 years old, we had moved from Oklahoma for a little while to Arizona, then to California. And I kept hearing about this thing called the ocean. And I could hardly wait to see the ocean. And we had relatives close to Long Beach. So we drove down from Tagus Ranch, which is in Tulare County, to Long Beach. And I saw the ocean. And the waves were wonderful. But as I sat on the ocean, I was disappointed in it. It was much smaller than I thought it was. I think Tim has been demonstrating something that I want to point out today. We've studied the book of Esther. And if you'll notice, there was so much more. And he's bringing it out more and more. It is much deeper than what you see. And of course, you have to have the proper view in order to see properly. So I want you to turn your Bibles to Romans 5. Romans 5. And you cannot see how big the ocean is sitting on the beach. That's one of the things that I learned as I found out that the ocean was much bigger than what I could see out there. And so the Word of God is much bigger than what you first see. Even after you've read it, it is much deeper and much further that you can go. The gospel is good news. It's wonderful news about Jesus Christ coming and taking dying for our sins. And that's good news. But if you think about it, it's hard to hear good news without first hearing the bad news. And that's where you really have to start, is with the bad news. You have to see yourself before you can appreciate God. And that's what people don't look at. They don't look at themselves and see themselves and get into the depth of how lost we are. We fail to tell the bad news and cannot properly tell the good. You know, it's usually the knock on the door. Do you know Jesus? No, I don't know Jesus. Well, have you been baptized? No, I haven't been baptized. Well, you ought to be baptized or you're going to hell. We didn't tell the gospel, did we? We didn't tell them how they were lost. We didn't tell them anything. We just really made a mess of it. So there's no good news without the bad news. If you live in good news all the time, you can never see the bad, and the bad is not there. And there's going to come a day that we're going to live in the good place, and there won't be a bad place, but we may remember that there was a bad place that we finally came to the right place. So telling a person they are lost without showing why they are lost is dangerous. I have to be able to tell a person that everybody has sinned. including them, even though they think that they are good people, they need to view themselves from God's perspective. So I want you to take a look at your life through God's view and see how God sees you so that you can finally come into God's presence and be there. So we've read a little bit, and I had this reading very small because I want to allude to some things that you'll notice in chapter 5. I first of all want you to remember O-N-E, one. Because you see that all the way through Romans 5 is this one. Verse 12, by one man. Verse 15, the offense of one. Verse 15, which is by one man. 16, it was one that sinned. And 17, reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So I want that to sink in your mind about him using this one. And it says in 18, the righteousness of one. You say, well, that's not the text that you presented. No, but that's the text that I want to start with. And we're going to go just a little bit deeper. I can't deal with all of it, but I can some of it. And it says, for as one man's disobedient, and the obedience of one. Now we've got the one before us. So you and I are identified with one man. I don't care which man it is, but there's one man you're going to be identified with. You are in one man. And we're either in Adam 1 or Adam 2. And Adam 2 is Jesus Christ. We know the Adam 1, and he messed everything up. And you and I have messed everything up. So we've been in one Adam. The problem is getting into the second Adam. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all are made alive. Isn't that something? From death to life. It's almost like a resurrection, isn't it? From death to life. You're in Adam now. And that was when we started out. But that was by birth, wasn't it? We was born, and I don't know whether you realize it or not, but everybody was affected by Adam. I realize that children are innocent when they come into the world. But at the same time, there is an effect that comes from Adam, and that is people die. So everybody is either in Adam in sin, or in Adam that they are going to die, one of the two. You get into Jesus, one man, by your new birth. And that new birth is not too hard to understand. It is very simply that we come to Christ and let Christ take reign in our heart as we obey him and we obey the gospel and start our walk as we're transferred from the power of darkness into the power of the kingdom of his dear son. That is the starting point. But there's so much more. When you first become a child, you don't know everything that's going on. You're going to have to learn it. And that's what we do with each other, try to teach others and so on. If you're without Christ today, you're not now in the image of God. You follow after parents and what have you. You're now in the image of Adam. And if you're in Adam, the Bible teaches us that we are lost. So that's the place that we need to start with, is I am lost because I am in Adam. I have sinned like Adam. And we say, well, Adam was made in the image of God, but then the image of God was marred and ruined by Adam. Do you realize Jesus Christ is everything that a man is supposed to be? That's what we are supposed to be. And we are thankful that we're put into Christ. So all of us in one way or another are found in Adam. I don't care who you are. Do we all go to hell because Adam sinned? And the answer is no. We all do pretty well on that ourselves, don't we? We just pick it up, and it seems just so natural. Because from a very early age, those adults around us and those that we've seen and the other kids, they teach us how to sin, and we become very proficient at it. If we're condemned by Adam, one man, then we need to be thankful to God today because we can be saved by Jesus Christ, the one man. That's what I want to bring out in this lesson more than anything. I can't bring it all out. But I can tell you this, that we've got to move from one Adam to the next Adam for us to be saved. God allowed Adam, our federal head, to stand for us, that Jesus, our resurrected Lord, might stand for us. In other words, here is Adam representing mankind. And if you notice, people say, well, Eve really did the first sin. No, Adam did. Adam was responsible to protect Eve. He did not do that. And therefore, it came on him, and that everybody after that partakes with Adam as they start sinning or they are born into a world of death. So the one key word here is one. Our question here is, which Adam are you in? The second word I want you to notice is R-E-I-G-N, reign, which means rule. And we'll try to put this together in a minute. In 14, it says, nevertheless, death reigned. And you know what that is when something reigns. It means it's the king over you. It is ruling you, and you just can't get away from it. There is no way to get away from it. And then, for by one man's offense, death reigned. And the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by Jesus Christ. So something is going to reign over you either way that you're at, either place that you're at. And that his sin reigned unto death, so might death might reign through righteousness unto eternal life. So we have a contrast now. We have one that righteousness is going to reign, the other that death is going to reign. That you are under one of the two. Not only are there two men and you are linked to one man or the other, there are two kingdoms. And you're either in one kingdom or the other. There's a kingdom of death and destruction, and there's a kingdom of love and light and life. And you are in one of those kingdoms today. I want you to think about this. Because it's very easy in the church to go come and say, well, I've been baptized, I'm okay, I'm all right. And our life is all messed up, but we're okay because we've been baptized. Who is guiding you? What is guiding you? That has to be the question you ask. Here's the third word. Now we're coming to the title of the message. There's so much more. Remember, you're in one man, either Adam or Christ. Because you are in Adam or because you're in Christ, you're in the kingdom of death or you're in the kingdom of life. One of the two. You're in the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. And the third word, and actually it's two words, is much more. Verse 9, much more then. Verse 10, much more being reconciled. Verse 15, much more. 15, much more the grace of God. Much more they which receive the abundance of grace. Much more abound. Much more, 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 more. That's what we're reading. So when we get to this place that we think we've got there, he says, don't stop there. You've got much more coming. Much, much more. And the main point is that we have gained so much more than we lost. There are things that are very precious to people, and then they lose them, and for a little while you feel like I've just lost something, and then you find out I got so much more. So I say this, and I want you to think about it. I'd rather live in Romans 5 than in the Garden of Eden. Because in Romans 5, we're going to get so much more than even they had there. You remember one thing about Adam and Eve? They were mortal, always. We will be immortal. I'd rather be saved sinner than an innocent child to be able to accomplish something here. Oh, it's wonderful that babies go to heaven. But isn't it better to live and learn? We have so much more in the Lord Jesus Christ than Adam ever lost. So this is saying that what Christ has is more powerful than all of the sin that there can be. That's the good news of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You remember he says it so well in Romans 1:16 and 17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For therein, that is in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. And so we're going to live by faith. So let's look first of all, we're going to see number one, what we lost in Adam. I don't know that you remember losing this when you were a child, but I remember it very well. And number two, we're going to see what I gained in Jesus. Number one, what did we lose in Adam? Number two, what did we gain in Jesus? So, we're going to see that we gained so much more in Jesus than we ever lost in Adam. What we lost in Adam. He said, you were without strength. It means I did not have the ability to save myself. I did not have the ability to do that which was right in itself to where it was effective with God. It means that I was so weak that I didn't know how to get up. I didn't know I was lost. I didn't know how to be saved. And if you don't know you're lost, you can't know how to be saved. So he's pointing out over and over, think about where you're at. When you are without strength, remember the Bible says that you are without hope. We lost godliness and we devised wickedness. We used to know how to just make up with wickedness. When we were kids, we did some terrible things that we thought were fun. We lost peace and deserved wrath. And we lived under God's wrath. When I first found that out, it really affected me to find out that I was under the wrath of God. And it was horrifying. But what we gained in Jesus, we gained much more of his redeeming blood. I remember there was a time when I was a boy that they thought that they ought to take blood out of the books. And they thought it gave a terrible image. The very gospel is based upon the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the blood of Christ, you have nothing. Everybody that is saved is going to be saved by the blood of Christ. Even that little innocent child that is born, the blood of Christ applies him to heaven. That child is safe. He's not saved. He didn't have to be saved. Well, we need to remember how much we get from the blood of Christ. We gained the much more of his reconciling death. I watched children on television one day, and it was amazing. One saw the other child and the other, and they ran together and hugged each other because they recognized we're two kids, and evidently they hadn't seen each other for a while, and there they were. And we find out that we're under the wrath of God all of a sudden, and then God does something and says, come here, let's be friends again. And I run to him, and we're in that harmonious relationship again of friends with God. We gain much more of his renewing gift. That renewing gift has to do with salvation, but it has to do with the grace of God. Imagine with all the things that you've done, and you know what you've done, and I know what I've done, that God says, my grace is even greater than that, and I can forgive anybody of anything, no matter what they've done. That's so amazing. That you just stand in amazement and thank God and praise God for his grace and his love. And we gain much more of his reigning power. Do you realize that the Bible says that we sit in heavenly places where Christ is, and that we will reign with him? If we're going to reign with him, it means we're over things that's not over us. Death no longer reigns over me. Life reigns over me. And Jesus has saved me. We gained the much more of his restoring grace. And when I say restoring, I mean the restoration comes. We're back with God again. Now I want you to think today, not a long lesson. I'll leave that for Tim. He always goes a little over. I want you to appreciate what God has given to you and what you have lost by not sinning and living in Christ and being forgiven every day, even though you're not perfect. That God looks at us now as he looks at Christ and says, you know what? Dan, you're in Christ. And God says, that's what I'm looking at. My son is perfect. You're in there. His blood took your sins away. And you stand justified before God. You know, if we really get that message, it's a deep message. It's much more than just reading Romans 5. It's more because it fills your heart and fills every inch of you. So if you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, you're in Adam. Come from Adam into Christ. As you come, as we stand together,